Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Communication majors know that even a simple sentence could have multiple meanings depending on which word in that sentence is stressed. For example, a simple seven-word sentence could have seven different meanings. I never said he stole that money. Now, I don't want you to go there right now, but after a while, consider how different it is depending upon which one of those words is being stressed. It's part of the difficulty that we have communicating in writing, and especially these days communicating online. We don't always know how to read the author's emphasis, and so we don't always get the meaning. Today's lesson begins with one of those kinds of statements, from now on. Maybe you've used those words in a moment of anger as an ultimatum or as a threat. From now on, you're going to clean up your act or else. Or maybe you've used them as part of an apology. I'm sorry. From now on, I'll try harder. Or maybe as a promise, even a campaign promise. If I'm elected from now on, everything is going to be so much brighter. From now on always implies that things are going to be different. Things are going to change. Now, Paul wrote these words to the Christians in Corinth, and he introduced them to the Corinthians by reminding them that the appointed time has grown very short. And so, from now on. And he began to list specific ways in which our lives as Christians are different. Now that we have celebrated Christmas, now that the Lord Jesus has come into the darkness of the world with the good news of his kingdom, now that our Savior has suffered and died on a cross, everything is different. He has risen, and now we are waiting for his return. And so from now on, we live eschatologically. What does that mean for us? How different must our lives be? What changes does he expect? You see, it scares our human nature because we don't know just exactly what these words mean. Gospel for this weekend, St. Mark records the call of the first disciples. We're told that Jesus was walking along the seashore. He saw the first two, Simon and Andrew, and he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And Mark says, immediately, they left their nets, they left their boats, they left everything, and followed Jesus. And then he called James and John. And again, Mark says, they left their father Zebedee and their hired men, and they followed him too. So you get the impression that things changed for them immediately and drastically. Fishing was never going to be the same. Things that may have once irritated them, like torn, tangled, empty nets, the price of fish in the fish market, wasn't going to keep them awake all night anymore. Had to leave family and friends. But now they open their arms and their hearts to a whole new world of people, people they had never noticed before, people they had probably despised before, but now they were going fishing for those people, and nothing would ever be the same. And this means for us, from now on, living eschatologically, our lives are going to be different too. In the past, we may have gotten anxious and afraid and worried and bound up by all the things of this world. Think of how in the last few weeks your life has been impacted by a pandemic, presidential politics, race relationships, or exams, or papers, or tuition, or finances, or things going on back home. St. Paul reminds us the appointed time has grown very short. The present form of this world is passing away. From now on, the message of the Epiphany season is that God manifested and continues to manifest his glory to us. God himself has come into the darkness of this world, into the midst of all the stuff going on. And Jesus, the Son of God, endured the pain and the poverty and the cruelty and the injustice and the rejection. And he served people in all of their needs. And most importantly, he bore your sins and your sorrows, your guilt, your shame, your fears. He bore them all to the cross and through the tomb. The risen Savior has redeemed all of life. He has redeemed your life. He has asserted his authority over all creation and over every moment of time. His kingdom has come. It's here and it's now. And so Paul wrote, from now on, I want you to be free from all anxieties. Now, apparently he'd received a report that the Corinthians were anxious over how to view marriage eschatologically. And so he wrote, from now on, let those who have wives live as if they had none. He isn't commanding married people to ignore their spouses or to get divorced. Nor does he really say that single people need to remain single. In fact, he spends a lot of time in this chapter affirming that marriage is a gift from God. What he's addressing is what I would sometimes call the Hallmark Christmas show view of marriage, where two people meet and against all odds and in the midst of all of their division from one another, manage to fall in love, get married, and live happily ever after. And it's all framed in this soft light and this romantic mood, as if that's what marriage is really all about. Paul would say the kingdom of God is at hand. And from now on, your marriage, your family, your home is going to be different. Just getting married and raising a family isn't the goal. But we're talking about a Christian marriage and a Christian family where a husband and wife truly love, honor, cherish, forgive, and encourage one another in the faith. And where parents, Christian parents, raise their children in the faith and lead them by the hand to Jesus, their Lord and Savior. And where single people and all people lead chaste and decent lives in their words and their deeds. This is God's will for you. Jesus has come and is coming again. And from now on, Paul said, let those who mourn live as though they were not mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. That's not to say we need to stuff all of our feelings like the ancient Stoics. But isn't this the same word that Jesus spoke to his disciples on that night before he died? When he said, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. From now on, living eschatologically, things that normally cause sorrow, those illnesses and accidents and tragedies, and even the death of our loved ones can't crush us or drive us to despair. For St. Paul told the Romans, there is nothing in all of this creation that can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Likewise, those things that bring you joy, those unexpected surprises, those victories for your team on their way to the Super Bowl, a gift from a sponsor, a great medical report, those are all gifts from God as well. Gifts for you to enjoy, but again, not the end in themselves, for he has promised you a joy that no one will ever be able to take from you. Jesus has come, and he's coming again. And from now on, those who buy should live as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. You know that for many people in the world today, the goal in life is just making a living. And some getting rich, and some being successful. But that isn't really what your life is about. Jesus has taught us a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. Many years later, one of those fishermen, St. John, understood what Jesus was talking about. He wrote to his followers, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the pride of his life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." In the last verse of today's lesson, verse 35, St. Paul says that he wrote, "To secure your undivided devotion to the Lord from now on." And that's not an ultimatum. That's not a threat. Certainly not an apology. It's clearly a promise. Your marriage, your family, your joys and sorrows, your possession, all of your life is now different. For you've heard the Savior's gracious call, "Follow me." And you know his love. You know his forgiveness. You live in the expectation that he is going to return. And so now you have a whole new perspective on life, an undivided devotion to Jesus. From now on, then, by the grace of God, things really are going to be different for you in Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our service continues with the sermon hymn.